A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon, if you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today we're going to talk a win for Anthony Yard on the weekend. He defeated Marko Nikolic in his first fight since losing to Artur Beterbiev and now looks set to, for an all-big British showdown with Joshua Buatsi. We're also going to hear from Eddie Hearn, who spoke to us over the weekend about the upcoming fight between AJ and Francis Ngannou. He's told us why the delay in the Fury-Usyk fight makes it even bigger. Plus, we're going to talk a shock announcement of Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. That one came over the weekend. And we're going to hear from lightweight contender Keyshawn Davis, who caught up with Mr. Gareth A. Davis recently. Look, loads to get through. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Again, I'm ready whenever. I've got a team. Joshua's got a team. And it's about making the deal, making it happen.
I'm here because I believe this fight should be next.
If me and Joshua Buatsi could fight for a world title, icing on the cake.
Yeah, I think that Fury's always been controversial with some of the things that he said, and, you know, he's a showman as well. So I think not everyone believes every word he says. You know, very depressing at the time, but I think it'll work for the best, and it's going to be a huge fight, May the 18th.
I'm coming for his neck, you know, and that's it. Bottom line, you're coming for mine, but I'm really coming for yours. Weirdo. His dad's weirder. That's crazy. How your dad weirder than you? That's crazy, bro. They're both weird.
Like I said before, I'm willing to take the challenges. I love fighting. If I had to choose and be matchmaker and promoter, I would love to fight Teofimo Lopez.
Woo! Bit of Rick Ross as well. Bit of Rick Rosé to get us excited for this one. I do have to correct myself. I did say it was Anthony Yard's first fight. It's Anthony Yard's second fight since that loss to Artur Beterbiev. But look, it looks like we all now, all systems go for Anthony Yard versus Joshua Buatsi. What is the holdup? Let's welcome in the great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, as always, my man, how are you, sir?
Very well indeed, thank you. I've been very busy. Keyshawn Davis last night on an interview.
Lovely.
I had a catch-up with Anthony Ogogo, who's now wrestling in Crystal Palace on February the 18th. Remember him, the bronze medalist from the London Games, whose mum had a brain aneurysm during it. An amazing guy who had terrible eye problems in his professional career as a middleweight. He's now wrestling. I think he still misses boxing, but it was great to catch up with Anthony on his Getting Back Up podcast. And it's just been a good start to the week. And I really am celebrating, Eddie. I think the way things are lining up, I think it's the best 6 months potentially I've ever witnessed with fights in boxing.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many fights that I wish I could talk about that you probably know. It's probably one of those conversations we have off the podcast. Fights that are literally on the cusp, like on the cusp of being announced, that I think British fight fans are going to be super excited about. Happy you mentioned Anthony Ogogo there. Good little shout out for him. Obviously, look, it's a shame the way his career ended. Signed with Golden Boy as well. One of the first British fighters to sign with Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy.
Who recommended him to Golden Boy?
I don't know. Who did?
I did.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully you got a bit of commission
over a cigar. Over a cigar at the Lanesborough with Richard Schaefer, recommended, who said, who should I sign from the London Olympics? Obviously, I said Anthony Joshua and maybe Nicola Adams, but I said definitely Anthony Ogogo because he's got star qualities, that boy.
Yeah, there was a lot of comparisons with him and Bernard Hopkins. I remember Bernard speaking to him as well. But yeah, we move on. He's now a wrestler. He's jacked as well. He's put on a bit of timber as well. He's a big boy.
He's now 220.
Jeez.
He's 220 pounds.
He used to fight at 160.
I know, but he's 35 now, remember? That's 12 years ago since the London Olympics. He's still a handsome devil, though, and a real charmer. And had an hour on his podcast with his PR, Katie Traxton, Trackers, as I call her. We had a lovely time yesterday. And I'm so pleased when... Because genuinely, he was very broken with the eye. I think it was 7 operations he had on his eye. 22% vision in one eye he's got. And boxers suffered horrific injuries sometimes. And he was in love with the sport, in love with it, Addy. But anyway, it was great to see him.
Yeah, no, it's good as well that he moves on with his career. I think we also know that when boxers don't have boxing, they do struggle to find different things. And it's good to hear that he has found a new career and a new love. All right, let's talk about Anthony Yard. Win over the weekend. We're not going to talk about his opponent. Very just glorified sparring session. Worse than that, in fact. Let's talk about what could happen. Joshua Boazzi was there once again. We've seen them kind of been wheeled out at each other's fights, right? Each other's shows. Remember Yard sitting next to Boazzi with Ben Shalom in the middle. We've seen now Boazzi at a TNT show. Is this fight going to happen? Are we just teasing ourselves? Because it's been going on and on and on now for about 4 or 5 years.
The time is right. This fight has to happen in the next 5 to 6 months, in my view. It's a big fight. It sells out the O2 Arena if they want to do it in the UK, or if they want to do it on that Matchroom versus Queensbury, Eddie Hearn versus Frank Warren card out in Saudi Arabia on June the 1st. It could be the fight before Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, couldn't it? That could be the main event before that. So, or the co-feature, if you like. I'd love to see it on that card. It would give it a massive resonance. But also, given this massive East and South London derby, maybe 20,000 at the O2 Arena. But let me say this and make it plain. This fight needs to happen next for both men because it will capture public imagination. They both said, Eddie, let's get it cracking. That's the quote from both men. I love the respect between the pair. 6 years we've talked about this fight. The time is now.
Agreed and well said. How big is it? And the reason I say that before you answer is I was on a podcast yesterday as well. Let me shout these guys out. Undefeated podcasts. KG and Travis J. Tunde jumped on. And Tunde wasn't happy with me because I said it's big, but Tunde was talking stadium big. And I said stadium? I said O2 Arena, yes. Stadium, I'm not quite sure. He also said pay-per-view, which I agree with. I think it will be a pay-per-view fight. But how big is it in terms of the general public getting involved?
Well, they can sell it. Neither of them are trash talkers. So we're not going to get that kind of explosive pushing and shoving build-up. They have very deep respect for each other. They're two beautiful human beings at the end of the day. You know both of them, I do. Mm. They are wonderful men to be around. They are gentlemen fighters. They have a deep resonance. They're both very spiritual people. They are not going to push and shove and throw tables and do a chisora, if I can call it that. They're not going to do that around an event.
Yeah.
I think, yes, it crosses over, but the important thing is, it's not even for a world title fight, but we'll get 20,000 people out at the O2 Arena. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if they did go to, I don't know what the audience capacity or the spectatorship is for a Crystal Palace or a...
Crystal Palace, 28, 30,000?
Yeah, well, maybe, but... 20,000, the O2 Arena, as you know, is cacophonous with noise in there. There's a wall of sound that we're dealing with all the time there. So I think O2 Arena, pay-per-view, whatever the titles are on the line, it doesn't particularly matter. Obviously, Boazzi's the British heavyweight champion. But in a way, the belts don't matter in this one because the guy that wins this deserves to fight the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol.
Yeah, and just my selfish side, and I don't have a fan favourite, I love them both, but my selfish side wants it to be Boazzi just because I want to see him have a crack at a world title. All of them have had, right? Craig Richards fought Bivol, Callum Smith fought Beterbiev, Yard has fought Kovalev and Beterbiev. Like, Boazzi's the only one that hasn't had the crack. Callum Johnson's had his crack as well. Quick word on Craig Richards coming back on the weekend. Obviously another good light heavyweight now with Shane McGuigan. Got the job done in his fight. He's another good addition to this British light heavyweight mix, isn't he?
Well, I had Eddie on Fight Night, by the way, on Saturday night. I'd interviewed him earlier in the day And he mentioned Craig Richards potentially as the opponent for someone on that card in Saudi Arabia. They're talking about the matchups between Hearn and Warren.
He said Yard on the platform design. When I after the Craig Richards fight, he said Yard versus Craig Richards. And I was like,
I know. He said that to me earlier in the day. We ran it out of Talk Sport on Saturday night. And I thought, oh, Eddie's is he swerving? Is he swerving the Boazzi? Is Boazzi, does he not want Boazzi against? Well, he can't have Boazzi because Boazzi's with Boxer. Sorry, but we don't want any other fighter getting in the way at the moment of Craig Richard of Boazzi and Yard. We don't. We just want that fight, as you rightly say. You want Boazzi to win. I think Yard is a marginal favourite in this fight at the moment because Boazzi's going to be hit more and he's going to be hit harder than he's ever been hit. And he's going to really have to go into the trenches. He did a phenomenal job against Dan Aziz.
Yeah.
He bossed the fight. It wasn't a landslide as the card showed it because those two slip knockdowns in the 11th that really swayed the cards. But, you know, he won 8 out of those 4 rounds pretty clearly. And he's a very clever, very efficient boxer. But I just think he's going to have to go deeper into the trenches against Anthony Yard, who's going to bring it. And it's going to be, it's the biggest test he'll ever have.
Yeah. Did you expect Boazzi to be further in front of the other Brits? So look, he's had a tough fight with Craig Richards. And this isn't disrespecting those guys, by the way, because I think they're all fantastic kids. But he had a tough fight against Craig Richards and now a tough fight against Dan Aziz. Did you expect those fights to be maybe just a bit easier for Boazzi?
Against Dan Aziz and against...
Against Craig Richards.
I thought he did a phenomenal job in both those fights. They are both formidable. Craig Richards put up a phenomenal performance in lockdown up in Manchester against Dimitri Bivol, by the way.
Yeah.
In a very, very good fight. No, I thought Boazzi handled them both very, very well indeed. No one's really stretched him like that. There were tiny chinks in the door where Dan Aziz had moments in that fight where Boazzi was really giving everything and he had a little bit of fatigue every now and again. Or maybe 3 or 4 times. But no, I thought he handled both of them very, very well, Eddie.
Yeah, you know who else handled someone very well? Hamza Shiraz. And the way right. in which he handled Liam Williams very, very well. And all of a sudden, you look at the 160 division and he's a threat. And I'm talking a threat worldwide as well. I think there's a lot to like about Hamza Shiraz.
Absolutely. Well, that's why people like Frank Warren, his promoter, and I loved Hamza's attitude. I love Hamza's attitude anyway. I've grown a little bit closer to him in the last year. I found out he was left-handed on Saturday night, you know, in the post-fight interview. So that's why his jab is so powerful.
Hamza Shiraz is left-handed.
He's a left-arm bowler because his dad, Cameron Shiraz, was a quick bowler for Gloucestershire back in the early 90s. Yeah. And against the touring West Indians, he got Brian Lara and 5 others out, did his dad. And he's a lovely man, his father. And I was saying, because we had Hamza on air after his victory, and I said, your old man bowled out the West Indies one day when the tourists were playing Gloucester. And he said, no, that's right. I said, are you a quick bowler as well? He said, yeah, I'm a left-armer. And I said, what, you're left-handed? He said, yeah. And I said, that explains why your jab is so powerful. But he's got a big right hand as well, Addy, as I put my dukes up.
That's almost cheating, the fact he's got that left hand.
Listen, everyone's going to know now. It was going to come out at some point. They kept it quiet. He's doing a great job. Frank mentions rightly Yanibek Alemkanouli, the WBO middleweight champion. Maybe he's not ready for that fight yet, but maybe he is. Chris Eubank Jr., Nathan Heaney. Mm. There's loads of great middleweight fights out there for Hamza. He's freakishly tall, 6'3", massive long levers, real power, working on his lateral movement all the time. You know, out there with, I've forgotten his name again. Is it Ricky Nunes? Ricky Funes in Los Angeles. He's away from all the prying eyes. I like Frank's comparisons with Tommy Hearns. It's something that's crossed my mind as well. Long, long jab like Hearns. Amazing guy. Totally dedicated. He's going all the way, mate. All the way.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Hamza Shiraz a bit later as well, again, about potential opponents in the future and what he wants next. But still to come, we are going to talk about the announcement, the big one of Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia, April 20th. I think it will be in Vegas. A potential announcement for Canelo Alvarez to come as well. Plus, we're going to hear from Keyshawn Davis, one of the hottest prospects in the lightweight division. He spoke to Gareth. We're going to hear a bit from Keyshawn a bit later. But up next, we are going to talk heavyweights, and we're going to hear from Mr. Eddie Hearn. Welcome back to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. We are going to talk heavyweights now. So much has happened in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk off, then on, which is good, right? It's on May 18th. We know it's on. Let's hear from a man that's got his fingers in all the pies, and that's Mr. Eddie Hearn. And he caught up with Mr. Gareth A. Davis.
I did say to His Excellency the other day, funnily enough, these things happen. It's actually made the fight bigger.
Yeah.
You know, those February fights come around very quickly. And, you know, before we knew it, there was like 3 weeks to go, 2 weeks to go, and probably hadn't had the build-up that it deserved because, you know, you're coming off the back of Christmas and you're coming off the back of Day of Reckoning. And now, you know, they can really get their teeth into the promotion. It's got a little bit spiteful as well between the two camps. So all in all, you know, very depressing at the time, but I think it'll work for the best and it's going to be a huge fight May the 18th.
Yeah, it's weird, Gareth, isn't it? Because we would be out there now. I think both of us would have flown out a couple of days ago, right, to start covering the event.
I know.
And we're here. We're here in lovely, cold, wet England. But look, it's been rearranged. May 18th, the new date. His Excellency has made sure that whoever doesn't turn up for this fight will have to forfeit $10 million to the opponent, which I guess begs the question, how much are they getting paid? If the forfeit's $10 million, Gareth.
Well, it'll be significant. It's probably, I'd say 20%, 25% of the purse. It's a large amount of money, isn't it? I think, you know, having spoken and listened to all the people in the background that deal with cuts, the Stitch Durans, the Ross Ambers of this world, there's every reason to suspect that Fury will be fine by that. And also, Stitch Durans said an interesting thing on TalkSport last week, was that it's not near the capillary blood vessels that cut. And if you look at what Spencer Brown, Fury's manager, and Frank Warren have been saying, that there were very grave concerns about the depth of the cut of a gash originally. There aren't a lot of internal stitches, they're external, which is really good news in terms of reparation to his body. So hopefully physically he'll be fine. It is a bigger fight now, there's no question about it. Obviously it's been delayed and delayed. For this is a genuine cut, so let's make that clear. There's no conspiracy theories around. It's good to hear Eddie not pouring scorn on what happened, and many others, including David Haye, by the way, Eddie, who 10 years ago had a similar thing, and he was scorned at the time by Tyson Fury, but I think he's been very benevolent and very generous in his view on the videos from that beautiful beach in Costa Rica that he keeps sending videos from, making us all feel very envious in the wet and grey over here. Look, God forbid, or inshallah, as they say over there in Riyadh, that we do get this fight on May the 18th, because, you know, it will feel interminable if we don't get it in 3 months' time.
Yeah, no, look, we have to get it, surely. I mean, as you said, the next 6 months in the world of boxing could be fantastic, but that is the cherry on the top. It's not Ngannou, AJ, it's not Haney, Garcia, it's not a Canelo announcement, it's not even Bivol Beterbiev, it's the undisputed heavyweight title, so fingers crossed we get it. We have seen images of Tyson Fury. He did look in great shape.
Fantastic.
Great, I'd say great over fantastic, but yeah. Great. In that, and look, you're around boxing for years. When you are in that kind of shape, and then now the fight's been postponed, what is it, 11, 12 weeks away, what do you do? Do you press pause and then get back to it? How do you taper down when you're in that kind of shape, then taper back up to getting in that kind of shape again?
Listen, he's got a world-class team around him. Yeah. They know exactly what they're doing. It's a big team now. It's, you know, it's well-honed. You know, He's the WBC heavyweight champion. He's undefeated. He can afford the best team that money can buy. He's got a very trustworthy team. As I say, all the reports I was getting from inside the camp were that he was on fire in sparring. I think what they do is, obviously, they you know, he takes loads of vitamin E for the cuts, and he stays away from anything knocking him in that area around the eyes. But he can still do strength and conditioning. He can still maintain his levels of fitness. And then, you know, once the cuts has healed, I imagine it will be light sparring, because there will be a danger of it reopening. But he will do some sparring. But, you know, he's been in camp a long time. I imagine he'll go back over to Riyadh, I'm thinking, the beginning of April, and probably do a six-week camp over there. But in the meantime, there's loads of strength and conditioning that he can work on. They all know their onions in the team, and they'll have him completely on track. What they don't want is a repetition of the cut reopening.
You know, when you say he's got a great team around him, and he clearly has, right? If you're the heavyweight champion of the world, you are going to have sort of A-plus guys around you. Medics, doctors, S&C coaches. The
nutritionists.
Best. Exactly. Yeah. None of them would have wanted May 18th, though, would they? In terms of, they would have wanted a bit longer.
No, I don't think they can wait any longer. I don't think there's room to wait longer. I don't think there's...
They couldn't have waited a month? June 18th? No, but, or a week after Bivol Beterbiev?
Potentially, maybe. But I think in that longer interview with Eddie Hearn there, he said he's going to have Anthony Joshua ready. He wants Joshua to deal with Francis Ngannou, and they're going to keep him ready if anything happens for that May the 18th date. And if it's Usyk that's injured, you know, vicariously, Joshua will step in.
That'd
if it's
crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, wouldn't it be crazy? We suddenly get that fight. Boxing is a crazy sport, my friend. Remember, expect the unexpected. It's what happens in fight sports. Don't be surprised, maybe, if Fury fights Usyk, then Joshua, then Usyk. Don't be surprised. You know, Fury's unveiled this 5-fight plan, hasn't he? Usyk twice, Joshua twice, and the rematch with Ngannou. My word, if we get that from Fury. We've had, like, the most he could ever do in that case. But I think that will take him to 38. That's 2.5 years, in my view, if he fights twice a year. But we shall see. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't fight Ngannou again. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't fight Usyk twice. But I do think we'll get him in against Joshua. That's just my view on it. But I don't think he's got 5 fights left. But who am I to say? I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, with the amount of money that's on the table nowadays, even if he didn't plan to have 5, you make 5, don't you? Just because...
But there's his health as well. And there's... Look, I mean, don't you recall? He promised Paris, his wife, he'd retire after the third Wilder fight. So, and I've had personal conversations sit down with him. We said, well, you weren't wrong to ask me at the press conference, is that it now? Because I'm not getting any younger. I am taking more knocks. And I don't want to be in this forever. I just think it's his enthusiasm for wanting to do it, but whether the body will last that long, we're yet to see, Eddie.
Yeah, when I spoke to him a few weeks back, I said, so what is the want now? I said, get in, get rich, get out. And I said, look, I don't know what's in your pocket, but you would have made a lot of money, not just from the sport of boxing, but the things on the side, the WWE and everything else. I said, why still do it? And he just was honest. He said, what am I going to do? Just take the kids to school in the morning? Yeah. Sit down and what am I going to do? Like, I love this. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. So, and I said, does that mean we've got Tyson Fury for a bit longer? He's like, yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do. So it'd be interesting. As for Fury, it's funny, right? Because all of a sudden, the man that we thought was going to be right in the middle of this is now on the outside looking in, and that's Deontay Wilder, who's come out and, you know, a couple of excuses. I think he mentioned travel, didn't he, to Saudi being a problem that he wasn't ready for Joseph Parker. How does he get back into the mix?
Well, I mean, there's loads of fights in the top 10 for him. And we still want to see him in against Usyk and Joshua and Ngannou, maybe. And maybe Zhili Zhang. There's loads of great fights for him. Was that a blip? That's what we need to know. Was that a blip? We can take nothing away from Joseph Parker's performance. He took Wilder's right hand away and he landed his right hand over the top himself time after time on the night. Was a fantastic exponent with that game plan and strategy under Andy Lee, jabbed his way to victory, was very aggressive in one of the rounds, looked like he was nearly going to stop Wilder. I think it was the 9th round, if I recall right. Might have been the 7th or 9th round. I lose myself in it now, thinking of the fight. But Wilder, what I like, people will say, well, why is Wilder making excuses about 20-hour flights and all these kind of things, it's good to hear those excuses because it means that he's rejuvenating himself. He's finding reasons to be back again.
He wants to be back again. Yeah.
He's annoyed, and it's good. He's going to go out with a bang, not a whimper, and that's Deontay. He's a very proud man. He's a beautiful human being. I can remember the videos of Telly Swift screaming in the corner, "Baby, get out of the corner! Get out of the corner!" when he was getting hammered by Joseph Parker.
That was so emotional to watch. We never really talk about the families, the wives, the mothers, the daughters, the sisters who are there seeing their husbands, sons, fathers in the ring taking a beating, and you can see all the emotion on her face. It was kind of.
I had 10 minutes with her in the build-up for TalkSport before Deontay walked. And I sat with Tally, and I've known her quite a long time. And she's a very beautiful person, she emanates beauty and an aura of grace. And, we sat and we spoke about it. I said, "What are you going through right now?" She said, "Well, I'm used to it, but I get worried about my husband." And she's always there by his side. They're a very romantic couple, by the way, and I love that about them. And obviously, of course, I was waiting for him to come out with a reason that maybe I shouldn't do an ayahuasca retreat before going into and do psychedelics before going into a fight, but I think he's going to continue doing it. He's a very interesting character, and we will really miss him when he's gone. A lot of people gave him a very hard time after the Joseph Parker fight, but let's give the credit to Joseph Parker, and hopefully Deontay can get back to his best.
Yeah, fingers crossed. As you mentioned, there are so many great heavyweight matchups for him. I would easily watch the Joe Joyce one and the Ngannou one and all the others you mentioned as well. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we are going to talk about the big announcement over the weekend. £140 WBC title belt will be on the line. Devin Haney will take on Ryan Garcia.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back. You are listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. A big fight announced last week. It was rumoured to be happening, and now it's official. April 20th. I think it's going to be in Vegas. I say I think because obviously, as we know now, a lot of the big fights are going to Saudi. Devin Haney will defend his WBC super lightweight title against Ryan Garcia. Big fight for DAZN. Big fight for Golden Boy. Big fight for everyone. I think it's fair to say, Gareth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a brilliant fight. And I think what you've got to do is you've got to applaud. It's a very good fight for Devin Haney, in my view. Obviously, they fought three times in the amateurs, Haney and Ryan Garcia. But Ryan Garcia is like the golden goose, the cash cow of the division at the moment. For a lot of those guys around 135, 140, 147 eventually, I think, as well. Wouldn't surprise me to see a Terence Crawford fight him if Garcia has a brilliant victory over, say, a Haney. because he's very marketable. And maybe Crawford is a step too far, but, and I know we'll come on to talk about Canelo in a minute, but and what might be happening with him. But I just think that this is perfect matchmaking for the growth of Devin Haney. Well done, Oscar De La Hoya, for getting the event. Well done, Eddie Hearn, for getting it together. I spoke to Eddie about that as well, April the 20th. I suspect it will be Vegas. Having said that, 2 weeks later, Cinco de Mayo weekend is going to be Canelo and Jamal Charlo. So they might not want to do Charlo. A Vegas Jamal Charlo, yeah. Mm. The WBC middleweight champion. So maybe they don't want to do two massive events too close together. That's generally the case in Vegas. So maybe they go somewhere else. Maybe they go somewhere else in California, for example.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Ryan Garcia has fought at the Crypto.com Arena, the LA Lakers NBA team, their home, and San Francisco recently. Devin Haney for Regis Pro, yeah. He sold that out as well. So they've got options. They've got good options for Devin Haney, and you mentioned it. I mean, this is in terms of his growth. It's fantastic. Look at his last three fights: Loma, Prograis, now Ryan. I mean, that's big. That's really, really big for him. And for Ryan, I almost feel like he's got to be a bit careful here, Ryan. I love the fact he's taking these fights. And there was a lot of talk about Rolly Romero. This is obviously a lot bigger. He can lose, don't get me wrong, because I don't want us to pretend, you know, that we care too much about the O and all that nonsense. He's lost already. He can't be battered here. He can't be beaten up here, because I think that takes a bit of shine away from him.
Look, they've got history. That's what's brilliant to sell it. And obviously, as we saw last Thursday, when they were both in town with the Super Bowl going on, and the Thursday night Bob Arum fight with Keyshawn Davis, looking brilliant, by the way, and Teo Lopez, in a difficult fight with Jermaine Ortiz, who didn't really come to fight, if I'm fair. I thought Teo won that 7-5 clearly in rounds, but it wasn't a great performance. Teo's up and down a little bit. But in the generic mix of that group, as I just mentioned, with, you know, George Kambosos, Vasyl Lomachenko, Tank Davis, Keyshawn Davis now coming into the mix there as well, by the way, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, this group, I think I might have forgotten someone there, but in that group, Shakur Stevenson, how can I forget Shakur Stevenson? In that group between 135 and 147, are the best and richest American fights to be made right now. And what you've got to applaud Ryan Garcia over is he wants to get the fights done. He may end up with a record of 30-5, Addie, but he will fight all those big names quicker than anyone else. And he's the catalyst for making the mix and match. Look what Haney did twice against Kambosos. Look what Kambosos did against Teofimo Lopez. Look what Lopez did against Vasyl Lomachenko. A beats C, B beats C, C beats A in different algorithms of boxing and styles. Maybe Devin Haney beats them all. Maybe Gervonta Davis beats them all. Maybe Shakur Stevenson beats them all. Maybe Keyshawn Davis beats them all. And I spoke to him last night as well, Keyshawn. I was out in London. I did it at the back of a bar and we went on Zoom. He could be the guy that cleans up 135, 140, 147. Look what he did last Thursday against Jose Pedraza. Extraordinary performance.
Yeah, well, we're going to hear from Keyshawn a bit later in the next section. I do think he might have an Andy Cruz problem, but we'll talk about what Keyshawn can do, because I agree, fantastic, fantastic fighter. Credit to Oscar De La Hoya as well. Obviously, look, we know he has these antics and back and forth with Ryan on social media, and that's never going to change now, it doesn't look like. But big fights. He's getting Ryan the big fights. I mean, Gervonta, massive payday. T-Mobile Arena, done incredible numbers, pay-per-view. This one won't do the same type of numbers, but another big payday for Ryan. As a promoter, he's doing his job well for Ryan.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, they're very open and vocal about the differences they have from time to time. But look, like you say, he's worthy of the big fights anyway. It's not in my view. He's one of the biggest stars in boxing, certainly in social media terms. He brings the newest, biggest crowd to the sport. And, you know, if we believe
Question, Gareth, to cut across you. You're right. One of the biggest stars, if not right, top four, top five in terms of numbers, right? You look at it, not just what pay-per-view, bums on seats, social media. Does his boxing ability, though, lack behind that? Like, you know, when you think of all the previous big stars in the last 5 years, Canelo, Floyd, Manny Pacquiao, you can go back a bit, Cotto, like their boxing ability backed the fact that they were the biggest stars. It was almost hand in hand. Ryan, it isn't hand in hand, is it?
He only needs that one big victory. If I see Haney as, it's great matchmaking for Haney, in my view. I see Haney as quite a big favourite in this fight.
Same. But, and that's why I don't want him to get damaged. And that's my scare. Like, will he still be a big star? And I hope he is. If, like, losing's one thing, right? If he loses, no problem with that because all the best have lost. But as if he gets stopped again like he did Javonte, then does that eventually go? Does it disappear?
Well, he had lots of disadvantages in that fight. The weight cut, all those different things that affected him. He agreed to too much in Javonte's favour. And if we are to believe the reports that Javonte earned $40 million for that fight, there aren't many other people out there he can earn that kind of money against, if that is to be believed. You know, very strong sources in America have put those figures out. One of the reasons why he earned so much was because, if you recall, it was one of the events of the year last year, wasn't it? You know, it was a tremendous event. Brilliant build-up. Ryan's, I think he's got everything. I think he's got power. I think he's got speed. I think he's got tenacity. I think he's got vulnerability. He's got star qualities. I mean, he looks like a Hollywood movie star as well. And he gets in your flaming face, as we saw last week, walking around. He didn't give a monkeys, does he? He's getting in right there in Devin Haney's face, pushing him. Everybody was talking about that last week. The kid is a star. Period. Dot. End of conversation.
Yeah, the biggest star in boxing still is Mr. Canelo Alvarez, who was on Mexican TV this morning. Everyone was waiting with bated breath. What's he going to announce? And basically said, look, he's not fighting Mexicans, the two that we want to see, Munguia and David Benavidez, and that he's going to fight an American. The obvious one is Jamal Charlo. You mentioned a bit earlier, the 160-pound WBC champion. It's gone down like a lead balloon on social media. You've seen it, Gareth. You know it has.
Yeah.
I'm in the view that Canelo can do what he wants. He's entertained me for the last 10 years, but a lot of people are not happy.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's be honest. Most people were hoping the big announcement, and he is the most watched boxer in the world.
Yeah.
30 million Mexicans or more stop and watch him every time he fights. He's a massive draw. He's a huge star. He's an incredible character. He's been at this game 20 years as a pro. He's amazing to watch. His only blemish, of course, is to Floyd Mayweather and to Dmitry Bivol. One against a modern master and another against a weight division. He perhaps shouldn't be in at light heavyweight.
Shouldn't be a super middleweight.
No, he's probably naturally a middleweight.
Yeah.
I wonder what weight division they're going to fight this in. He'll probably have the advantages. It'll probably be a 12-stone fight at super middleweight. A lot of us were hoping that it would be potentially, and the last name you'll jump at a little bit, I mentioned it earlier, but a lot of us were hoping it would be Jaime Munguia, or David Benavidez, or even Terence Crawford.
Yes,
which is a fight. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the biggest fights in boxing, because I think even though Terence,
do you think it still might be? Do you feel like he's almost playing possum with us, and we look that way, and he announced, because he did say American, and everyone's jumped to Jamal, everyone. Nothing official has been announced. Imagine he does go bang Crawford.
Well, the sources for the breaking of that story were the Ring magazine, or the Ring, and they're normally on the money.
Yeah,
I mean, I worked for them for many years, over decades, and
yeah,
it's Dougie a great organisation.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so if it is great, but it just delays the inevitable, which is there's going to be a Benavidez fight at some point, but there may well be a Terence Crawford fight before that. Terence has been pushing that fight out there as one of the biggest in boxing. I think it is. I think it's a mega fight for the ages. It reminds me of, let's say, Sugar Ray Leonard. I know the weights aren't exactly the same, but it reminds me of Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler fighting. And I kind of make Canelo the Marvin Hagler, even though he's not a southpaw. And I make Terence the Sugar Ray Leonard, if you like, the more astute boxer. But it's that kind of size of fight. I hope we get to see it at some point. I still will probably be out there on May the 4th for the Cinco de Mayo weekend to see that fight in Las Vegas. Canelo versus Jamal Charlo, the WBC middleweight champion, if it happens, against the undisputed 12 stone king. It'll be a nice week building up before we head out to Riyadh for the undisputed heavyweight crown between Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk.
Not a bad week, not a bad 10 days in boxing, that one. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, you heard Gareth mention it there, we are going to hear from Keyshawn Davis, and we'll also hear from another prospect, Hamza Shiraz. Good afternoon and welcome back to Fight Night Extra. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's hear from undefeated lightweight prospect Keyshawn Davis, who kept his perfect record intact over the weekend with a dominant six-round stoppage over former two-division world champion Jose Pedraza in Las Vegas. Gareth has been speaking to the man himself, about 2024 and what he has in store for him and who he wants to fight next.
I love fighting. I'm willing to take the challenges. If I sign a contract, prayerfully, I get those big fights, but it's up to them to accept it. It's not up to me.
Who and when would you like to fight next?
If I could choose, because I let the matchmakers do their job and the promoters do their job, but if I had to choose and be matchmaker and promoter, I would love to fight Teofimo Lopez next. I would love to fight Teofimo
at 140. At 140, yeah.
At whatever weight he want to fight at, we could go to 154. It doesn't matter. I would love to fight Teofimo Lopez. He do a lot of talking in front of people, but behind closed doors, he's as quiet as a mouse. I done crossed paths with him so many times, fight week, and he did not want to say anything to me. He didn't want to look my direction. But y'all, you see the buildup after the fight when he gets balls in front of a lot of people, but he is quiet as a mouse behind closed doors. I would love to expose Teofimo Lopez.
What about the winner of George Kambosos and Vasyl Lomachenko as well?
In my division's fights, Navarrete.
Okay, Emmanuel Navarrete.
Yes, I would love to fight Emmanuel Navarrete. It would be an honor getting in the ring with him, man. He's a fantastic fighter. Fantastic. Nobody's seen a style like him. And I never seen a style like him, honestly. And I know that would be another challenge for me. So, and that will be a crowd-pleasing fight.
Final one. You know that the UK is a huge... Boxing is a huge sport in the UK. As your resonance grows, you'll get more and more fans here. People will want to celebrate you. Is there any ambition from you to want to fight in the UK at any point?
I love the UK. I fell in love with the UK when I was out there training for the World Championships, and I got a chance to see Lomachenko versus Luke Campbell at the O2 Arena. It just blew my mind that I'm in a whole nother country as an amateur and people is asking to take pictures with me. Like before the Olympics, before I went to the World Championships, you know, so it just shows how much the UK is involved in boxing. So I would love to fight in the UK, man. People keep talking about Adam, if you're willing to fight, let's make the fight happen for your fans, for our fans, for the boxing world. Let's make the fight happen, man.
Let's do it.
Just to confirm what he's talking about there, Adam is an Adam Azeem. Not quite ready for that one yet. Keyshawn Davis is a very, very special talent. You hear the name just calling out there. Teofimo Lopez at 114, Emmanuel Navarrete at 135. I mean, two monsters, and that's where he's at right now. Will be world champion. If he's not a two-weight world champion, something's gone wrong. He's in the gym with Terence Crawford and Shakur Stevenson. Imagine watching that sparring, Gareth. Shakur Stevenson and Keyshawn Davis going at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to have to meet at some point, of course. I think Bob Arum will probably keep them apart for a little while longer, but it's the collision is inevitable. He kind of took me from left field with the Emmanuel Navarrete call out. But it's, again, Navarrete, 29 now. I mean, so he hasn't lost for 11 years. I think he's only lost once anyway. But that kind of, I want to say it's like 6 years now in world title fights. He's an extraordinary fighter, very, very aggressive, very fast, brilliant on the inside. Again, the style matchup with Keyshawn is phenomenal. I've become a very big aficionado of Keyshawn, as I said at the top of the show. He's a very special human being, I think. And I think he may well go on to be one of the stars inside and outside the ring of our sport and loved by many, many people. I love the Adam Azim call out. You're absolutely right. He's not ready yet. And I love the fact that Keyshawn held his counsel the other day when Tio was putting him down a little bit at the press conference and saying, why were you saying those things about me? But then afterwards, from ringside, he gave it to Tio, and that fight is on. That's a great fight as well, by the way.
Yeah, certainly is. I guess if you're Tio, you're probably thinking, yeah, it's not big enough for me. But for Keyshawn, yeah, it's certainly a fight that Keyshawn should try his hardest to kind of, I don't know, keep the public talking about it all the time. The public are talking about Hamza Shiraz as well after that fantastic performance against Liam Williams on the weekend. Hamza Shiraz was on TalkSport the other day on Drive with Goldstein and Ben. This is what he had to say about a potential fight with Chris Eubank Jr.
Because it's a bit of an awkward situation to be in, especially for my behalf. For him, I suppose, he's looking for the biggest money fights out there. So whether that be the Kell Brook fight or whoever he wants to fight, it makes sense. But then at the same time, if he's not chasing world titles and he's not going for that fight, then I think it makes all sense to fight me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, to fight me. So let's see what happens.
I was going to ask, if you were to fight him, how would you beat him? But do you know the answer to that? Unless you're going to have a fight with him. Do you look at your opponent? I think he's about 4 inches shorter than you.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him fight a few times and I've always fancied the fight. I fancied the fight 3 years ago. Obviously, it wasn't going to happen then, but I've always fancied the fight. And
yeah, I don't expect Hamza Shiraz to fight Chris Eubank Jr. And it's not because Chris is ducking. I mean, Chris is, what, 34 now? You look for the biggest money fights, and Hamza Shiraz, unfortunately, isn't that right now. One fight, though, that I'm hearing potentially could happen is this on this 5 versus 5. Obviously, Hamza Shiraz is with Queensbury. Matchroom have Ammo Williams. Similar record, 16-0, very similar to Hamza's as well. I think they're trying to make that one. Ammo Williams, Hamza Shiraz. I like that.
Wow, that's a big crossroads fight for both of those guys. Right? A lot of jeopardy, wow, Ammo's a big puncher and a very dangerous fighter as well. I'm salivating at the thought of that matchup, Eddie.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic one. And Hamza's almost come up, hasn't he, in the last sort of year or so. Remember he had that issue with Bradley Skeet? Well, I think he punched him after the bell and there was a lot of talk about he should rematch Bradley Skeet. That was at 154. He's now moved up to 160 and he just looks like a different person. Looks rejuvenated with an extra 6 pounds.
Yeah, he's in the right weight division. As I say, he's an enormous physical specimen. He's got things to do in terms of his lateral movement. He's still learning. He's still on the job. But he's going in completely the right direction. And that was a massive statement against Liam Williams last weekend. That's why everyone's talking about him with such excitement.
Gareth, you know, I always say this. Great to have you back. I know you've been...
Oh, it's lovely to be on.
It's great to have you back, Gareth. We packed in a lot to that hour, as we will do on next week's show as well, as we start to build up to AJ versus Ngannou and talk so much other stuff as well. UFCs have been playing out over the weekend. Volkanovski's in action. We'll break those down as well. So we'll see you again next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.